This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting today's service. Please stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for information about ordering tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon. We are pleased you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in every Sunday on this station.
How is your spiritual health these days? Are you growing in your ability to love? Are you attracting other people towards Jesus Christ? Jesus said these things cannot happen in our lives unless we abide in Him. Stick with me, and we'll take a look at how we might abide in Jesus and improve in spiritual health. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. You've provided us with everything we could possibly need, food, clothing, home, family, daily work, everything. You have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins and offered us the free gift of eternal life. You have blessed us with your holy word. And Lord, as we study that word together today, may we once again leave this worship time praising you for the goodness of your word. Amen.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart.
In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus.
Have you had a physical checkup lately? I've had a few of those in my lifetime. And now the older I get, the more important it seems to get things checked out more frequently. You know the routine. I go in, my doctor will check out my vital signs, draw some blood for tests, check my blood pressure, poke and prod around every opening in my body. And along the way, he'll typically ask me some questions regarding my health. He asks things like how I've been feeling lately and if I've been taking care of myself. One of the things doctors will oftentimes ask us about is our diet. If our weight is off or the tests come back showing some high cholesterol readings or they discover high blood pressure, diet will most certainly be a subject that is addressed during that visit with the doctor. Tell me about your diet, he might say, and then he might offer some changes that you need to make. I don't know about you, but I don't particularly like being told what I can eat and what I can't eat. But I did come across a story with a prescribed diet that I might try someday. Listen to what this person wrote. Yesterday I went to the doctor for my yearly physical. My blood pressure was high, my cholesterol was high, I'd gained some weight, and I didn't feel so hot. My doctor said eating right doesn't have to be complicated, and it would solve my problems. He said, just think in colors. Fill your plate with bright colors, greens, yellows, reds, etc. So I went right home and ate an entire bowl of M&Ms. And sure enough, I felt better immediately. I never knew eating right could be so easy. Sounds like a good diet, doesn't it? But seriously, you and I know proper diet is important for good health. Well, just as the body needs proper nurturing, so does our soul. Jesus was talking with his disciples the evening before he was crucified for our sins. And he told them that they needed to abide in him the rest of their days. In other words, stick with him. He described himself as the life-giving vine, and that they were the branches, and apart from him, they could do nothing. He talked about the vital signs of a healthy Christian life as one of bearing much fruit. Now, when Jesus referred to bearing fruit, there were a couple of things he probably had in mind. One, the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul describes in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. These sorts of things would be displayed in a disciple's actions and attitudes. That would be bearing fruit. But bearing fruit was also spoken of as people. People who would be brought into the kingdom of God through our efforts in the name of Jesus. Well, then Jesus prescribed for the disciples just how they might abide in him and bear that kind of fruit in their lives. Listen to his words in John 15, beginning at verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. To abide in Jesus Christ and be spiritually healthy and growing means that I will abide in his words, reading them, studying them, trusting in them, and the promises, getting to know Jesus, reading Matthew and Mark and Luke and John over and over again. believing that Jesus truly does know what will make my life work. Abide in my words, he says. The word that is used there, the Greek words, is rhema, which could very well mean promises. He calls us to get to know his promises and to stand upon them as we live out our days. But notice the prayer promise that is attached to this statement that Jesus made for those whose hearts are filled with the word. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be done for you." What do you suppose Jesus meant by that? It sounds like a blank check, doesn't it? But that's not what Jesus is saying at all. In fact, what Jesus is saying this, when Christ's word dwells in us and literally becomes a part of our psyche, we're saturated with the word, then we will ask those things that Christ would ask. We begin to pray with the mind of Christ. Back in John 14, Jesus said something else that was similar to this. "Whatever you ask in my name," he said. To pray in his name is to pray as Jesus would pray it, with his priorities and his promises in mind. As you live with Christ in those Gospels, you discover quite a bit about his prayer life and what he asked of his Heavenly Father. For instance, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. May your plans be completed, Lord." He asked for strength and guidance each day as he went off to a quiet place before he would begin his service to the kingdom of God. We hear him on the cross as the crowds are making fun of him and causing him great suffering. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." In the 17th chapter of John, we would find Jesus praying for the disciples, that they would glorify God with their lives and stay strong in the faith and love one another and be sanctified in the truth for the sake of the kingdom. Again and again, we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the things that Jesus prayed about, and we see what were his priorities. And when his word becomes a part of us, we begin to pray like that. And Jesus said, you will receive what you ask for. I came across a little story about a fellow, his name was Brandon. He writes about a young person when he was a kid that he was afraid of. "His name was Tim, and he was the bane of my existence. I can't remember now any particular thing that he did to irk me. I simply recall from the fourth grade on, he gave me a general sense of panic. Tim was unpredictable, content one moment and angry the next, and I half feared and half loathed him. I thought slugging him in the nose might solve the problem, but my mom suggested praying for him. That's just like a mom, I thought. But she insisted, and each night before bed, she prayed and encouraged me to pray for Tim. I don't remember either of us asking God that I would learn to like him more. It seems Mom always prayed for Tim's peace. Over time, something remarkable happened. Tim seemed calmer more often. As he grew more peaceful, I grew less fearful of him. God answered our prayers." That's what God does. He answers our prayers. His eagerness to meet our needs is an important element of his character. I'm convinced my mother knew that full well. She recognized my crisis as one through which God could whisper a word to me about his character. She clung to God's promise to offer peace to his children, and she was confident that God would hear me when I called out to him. May we all be so wise. Abiding also means keeping Christ's commandments. Jesus went on to say to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." First of all, I think that's just a marvelous thing to hear again. I'm loved by Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to die for my sins in order that I might have forgiveness and eternal life. I have been loved fully, amazingly, by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The world may put conditions on love that it will give me, but Christ's love is offered to me freely and unconditionally, and I'm called to receive it, to revel in it, and here Jesus says, to remain in it, to continue to know you have been loved. And here's how he says we can remain in his love. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. What do you suppose it means to keep his commandments? Well, first, when I keep something, it means that it's something that I value. I hold on to it because I consider it useful for my life. It's important to me. In the Old Testament, the Word of God was described as a great treasure. If you listen to the writer of Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10, he describes it as something to be treasured like gold. Jesus is saying, you'll treasure my words. But next, to keep his commandments means not only that I'll treasure them and enjoy them, but I will obey them. I will put them to work in my daily life. I will live by them. By the way, what are these commandments that Jesus is talking about? One day, Jesus was approached by a teacher of the law, according to Mark's gospel, and asked about what's the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love God, love your neighbor. In another place, he told his disciples, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things that you worry so much about shall be added unto you. In this particular chapter, John 15, a few statements after Jesus talked about remaining and keeping his commandments, he would go on to say to them, love one another as I have loved you. Now, some scholars believe that Jesus was referring to everything that he had shared with his disciples, his whole message, about totally trusting him with their lives. Jesus said spiritual health comes to a person who not only reads or hears his word and his commandments, but actually lives by them. I'm reminded of a story I came across that Jill Briscoe tells. Jill writes, I remember talking to a girl in my church 2 or 3 years ago. She said, Jill, I've lost my joy. I've lost my peace, and I want it back. Where did you lose it? I asked. That has nothing to do with this, she replied. Help me to get it back. But where did you lose it? I don't want to talk about that, she said. But eventually, she did talk about it. She lost it when she moved in with her boyfriend. That'll do it. Finally, Jesus sums up this little section of his talk with these words. I've said all this to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Let me paraphrase this for us. I've told you that I'm the vine and the branches, and so you need to remain in me in order to bear fruit. And to abide in me means abiding in my promises and keeping my commands so that you may have my joy in you. Jesus said, I've said all these things so you can have joy. He wants us to have joy in our hearts, that sense of well-being in any and all circumstances. C.S. Lewis, that great Christian author of last century, wrote, joy is the chief business of heaven. I like that. A favorite writer and preacher of mine is Dr. John Lloyd Ogilvie, and he wrote that you and I were created to enjoy God. He writes, enjoy God? Isn't that word enjoy a bit frivolous to describe our relationship with the Almighty? Not when we understand the deeper meaning of enjoyment. Authentic enjoyment is the experience and expression of joy. And true joy is the outward manifestation of the inner grip of grace on our souls. So enjoying God becomes with the sheer delight of God and receiving His unmerited favor and unqualified love. As we abide in His Word, we will come to great joy in our lives and come to a great enjoyment of the One who loves us. So let me ask you today, how is your spiritual diet lately? Are you nurturing your soul in Christ's Word? We can do that in a variety of ways, you know. There is the joy of coming together for worship. Worship is our lifeblood as we gather with brothers and sisters to be fed by the Word of God, to come to the Lord's table and hear the Word given and shed for you. There's the joy of personal Bible study, reading a story a day, working your way through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over and over again until your soul is saturated with Jesus. There's the joy of discovery in a group of other believers who are looking for that same intimacy with Jesus that you long for in your life. I've seen that Word come alive in so many people's lives in that sort of a setting. Abide in His Word. John Ortberg, in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, tells a wonderful story. He writes, "If you were marooned on a desert island and could have only a single book with you, what would you choose?" Somebody once asked this question of G.K. Chesterton. Given his reputation as one of the most erudite and creative Christian writers in the first half of the 20th century, one would naturally expect his answer to be the Bible. But it was not. Chesterton responded, "I'd want Thomas's Guide to Practical Shipbuilding." That makes sense, of course. When we're trapped on an island, we want a book that will get us safely home. The truth is, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need the Word. It's life to us. So, what God said to St. Augustine, that great early Christian church father, long, long ago, when Augustine was far away from God, God now says to us, take it and read. Take it and read. Amen.
The Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only desire thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Mm-hmm. desert to his foes, that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That soul,
Lord, how we long to bear fruit that glorifies you and honors you as we live out our days. Help us to be people of the Word. Create in us a hunger and a thirst to hear your Word and to put it to work in our lives. We praise you and thank you for giving it to us. Your word is truth, and the truth sets us free. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders, radio and internet ministry. May today's gospel message provide comfort and peace for the coming week. Christian Crusaders has been blessed with gifts from those who believe strongly in our mission and have included this ministry in their estate planning. These resources have made it possible for Christian Crusaders to continue broadcasting biblical truth for the past 72 years on the radio and now worldwide on shortwave radio and the internet. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available by writing to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You can also find a copy of today's sermon by visiting our website at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.